Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. We hit the halfway point of this psalm last time, and now we're breaching that point and starting to head toward the second portion of this lengthy chapter. Beginning in verse 89, Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have given me life. I am Yours, save me, for I have sought Your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider Your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Let's pray. Father, as we seek to consider Your word this evening, we pray that You would be pleased to bless and open our hearts. Lord, we pray that You would fill us with Your Spirit. We pray that You would give us grace, Lord, to give heed to Your word and to love Your word and to have more confidence in Your truth. Father, we know that all else is shaky ground and sinking sand. And so please help us, Lord. And we pray that You would be pleased, Lord, to accomplish all Your will. And we look to You and we ask that You would forgive us for our sins, Lord, and that nothing would hinder us from having fellowship with You, even through the preaching of Your word. So, Father, hear our prayers, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. One of the most miserable and humanly unbearable realities from the standpoint of the unsaved, from the standpoint of those who are not Christian, is the reality of uncertainty. Apart from Christ, there is just no leg to stand on in this regard. That is why by nature we tend to bury this arrow of anxiety beneath the sand of temporary lusts, flimsy achievements, materialistic gain, and all manner of worldly nothings that serve to do nothing more than hide our consciences from the inevitable reality of impending death. We don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what will happen even in the next moments. But then we lose an important job that we've trusted in for our daily assistance and sustenance. Then we are suddenly afflicted with an unexpected illness or injury which builds a quick bridge from yesterday's ease of life to a whole other way of living altogether. But then someone close to us passes away and the realization of their permanent absence haunts us terribly. But then the stock market plummets and thousands upon thousands of our invested dollars have just disappeared into thin air. But then the normal freedoms that we used to enjoy have suddenly been taken away. But then everything we live for comes crashing down when a spouse cheats on us or suddenly walks away, leaving nothing behind but a note saying that he or she can no longer commit himself or herself to the marriage that you have wholly invested in. Uncertainty, the reality that things just may not be the same tomorrow, that expectations may suddenly be dashed to pieces, that we just don't know what a day will bring forth, is like cancer to the natural man's soul. It can go unchecked for some time. You can lay aside this reality of uncertainty for some time and hide from it, and it can go unchecked. We can pretend that it will never interfere with our indestructible world, but sooner or later it comes to bite us. And when it does, the foundation upon which we have built our life shakes and crumbles, exposing it for what it truly is, a fabricated mirage of nothingness, a lie and no true foundation of all. Not so for the Christian, however. Yes, in one sense, the Christian lives in a realm of uncertainty. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We face the same sorrows and hurts and pains of life that everyone else faces. But there is one key difference, isn't there? And it's found in those words from Isaiah 40 that we read before. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You see, we stand upon the infallible, unchangeable, sure word of God, and that is what makes all the difference for the Christian. In the midst of this chaotic life of uncertainty, we find ourselves safe on the bedrock of Christ and His Word. And brethren, this was the psalmist's great respite during his time of great affliction. Everything about his situation, when you read this text and the recent text that we've gone over, everything about his situation was terrifying, full of uncertainty. It was painful and without any end in view. But we see over and over that he set his hope upon the sure and steadfast Word of God, and he found supernatural strength right there, which led him to persevere and endure for the glory of God. And brethren, this evening, once again, we enter the psalmist's world of suffering, affliction. It's a common theme in this psalm, in Psalm 119, this idea of suffering affliction. And that's because it's a common theme of life, isn't it? Affliction is a common theme of life. But as we gaze upon his struggles, may God give us the grace to find the same support and strength for our battles, which enable the psalmist to persevere in his. And that strength, as we see over and over, is the enduring word of God. And as we examine this text, brethren, there are two things that I'd like us to consider about God's Word. Two things. First, God's Word is sure. God's Word is sure. And then secondly, God's Word is proven. First then, God's Word is sure. Look at verse 89 for a moment. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Here the psalmist acknowledges the fact, brethren, that everything God says, every promise that He makes, every judgment that He proclaims, every creed, the decree that He ordains, is absolutely certain. His Word is forever settled. It is established eternally in heaven, and it cannot be changed. Now, brethren, there are people who would rather this not be the case. There are many who think that somehow the uncertainties of this created world are actually beyond the reach of God's sovereign power, and they imagine some level of comfort from this false notion, as if that's comforting. Some would dare state that God is as anxious as us to see what will happen next in this life. And He is as equally surprised and frustrated when bad things happen to people. Even within the realm of so-called evangelicalism, you will find a class of people who are called open theists, who actually believe that God cannot know the future. Wow, that's pretty comforting, isn't it? That's not comforting at all, is it? Are we willing to sacrifice the blessed reality of an all-sovereign being who is actually in control of all things, and using even the wicked acts of sinful creatures to accomplish His good and glorious ends, just to adopt a God who we can define as good according to our naturally fallen terms? A God who would in no way allow any form of evil to exist in His world if He were capable of removing it? Are we willing to make that kind of sacrifice in our faith? I don't know about you, brethren, but I find something terribly dreadful and far more problematic about serving a God who is watching the same movie screen of life with us, eating His popcorn, biting His nails, crossing His fingers, and closing His eyes in fear, as He could only dream of hoping to anticipate what might just happen next. That's not very comforting to me. And I thank God that that's not the God of Scripture. And that's not the all-sovereign God that we know, who created all things and moves and shapes all things for His glory, in keeping with His unchanging, unhindered will, which is documented in His infallible Word. The God that we serve, brethren, is sovereign. His Word is settled in heaven forever, and it will, it must come to pass. No, He is not responsible for our evil and for the sins of mankind. The Scriptures teach us that He is pure light and there is no darkness in Him at all. But He is so great that He has ordained that even all of the evil acts that exist would assist and carry out His glorious plan of redemption. Even the wicked acts and the evil of mankind and demons that take place in this world are like the oars that help to move the boat of God's will in the direction of His planned purposes. The wicked angels and mankind do indeed grieve the heart of God, but they actually serve to bring Him glory. He reigns supreme. His Word is sure. We can count on God's Word, and this is the foundation and the hope of every true believer. Everything God states is true, brethren. Everything He ordains will come to pass. And I ask you, is that not the bedrock of your soul? Is that not the comfort of life? Is that not the confidence that we have in the gospel? We know that we cannot trust man, but we can wholly trust God. We cannot trust the government and the kings and those who are in power, but we can wholly trust God. We can't even trust our own hearts, but we can trust God. And it is, in fact, the sure Word of God that brings stability to our hearts. It helps us find the right place of balance. It helps us understand what we can't believe and what we have to trust in and not trust in, even from our own logic and our hearts. And it is the Word of God, brethren, that brings us to open our hearts to one another, even though we will fail each other at times. How do you keep opening your heart to other people, to other sinners, when we know that we fail each other, we let each other down, we discourage one another? How do we do that? It's because of our confidence in God and His sovereignty that we can do that. God's promises, His Word, His sovereignty are the co-signing factors that enable us to exist in a world that is laden with all manner of sin and confusion. The psalmist acknowledge this, brethren, and it carried him through his great affliction. His confidence and delight in God's law and His Word provided him with indispensable strength and support in the battle. Notice his words in verses 92 to 96. Listen to what he says here. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. You see, brethren, the psalmist's hope, what kept him afloat, what kept him going, what kept him from breaking down, was the reality of the fact that God's Word is sure, that it is forever settled in heaven. Everything else in creation has its end. Every kingdom comes to its end. Everything that seems solid in this world ultimately breaks apart. But God's Word endures through and is relevant for all generations. God's Word is sure. And then secondly, brethren, the psalmist also shows us that God's Word is proven. It is sure, but it has been tested and it is proven. Notice verses 89 through 91. Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. And brethren, as we look at these words, we find two general ways in which God's Word is proven. First, His faithfulness endures to all generations. Everything God has said throughout all of history, and especially that which is documented in biblical history that we have in Scripture, everything has come to pass. That has been said to come, that would come to pass. It's come to pass. Every generation, in fact, has witnessed God's faithfulness in keeping His Word. That's one thing that has been seen through every single generation since the beginning of time, is that God's Word is, it comes to pass. He is faithful to His Word. Did Adam and Eve and every successive generation that came through their seed die? It happens. We see that in Genesis chapter 4 and 5 and following, that we die according to God's Word. Did God bring judgment upon the world in Noah's day? And did He protect and deliver Noah and his family by means of the ark, restoring them to land in the proper time? We see that to be the case. Did God open the womb of Sarah such that she would bear a child at age 90 to Abraham, who was promised an impossible promise from the standpoint of man? Yes, God had given her that chosen seed, and there's a nation of people that have come through that seed, through that promise, to show God is faithful. Did God deliver His people out of the captivity and the bondage of the mighty Egyptians, the most powerful nation on earth? Did He deliver them from those people, from the Egyptians, by means of many signs and wonders? And did He bring them into the promised land and make them a great nation, mightier than all who surround them? Yes, we see God was faithful to His Word. He did what He said He would do. Did every prophecy of the prophets come to pass, right down to the finest details? Did the Israelites go in and out of the Syrian and Babylonian captivities right according to their appointed times, so that Daniel, as he's studying the Word of God, and he recognizes the years, the proclaimed years that the people would be in captivity, he could pray with assurance, knowing that that time had expired and God would begin to bring them out of the land through a man named Cyrus? Did the Christ come, born of a virgin, fulfilling every foretold prophecy concerning Him with respect to His prophetic, His priestly, and His kingly roles? Did these prophecies come to pass right down to the details, from His birth to in Bethlehem, from His going down to Egypt, from His being reared in Nazareth, from His riding on a donkey, from His enduring the specific torments and the foretold horrors of the crucifixion on behalf of sinners, even to the extent of declaring His actual sayings in advance? And we see that God has been faithful, and those Scriptures have been fulfilled. Well, brethren, there's also a second way. That's one way that we see God's Word to be proven, is that He's been faithful throughout every generation. There's a second general way in which God's Word is proven as well. And we're told that in these verses also. He says here, He established the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants. You see, brethren, we need to remember that it is by God's Word that He created all things, and that He has set them all in motion, and they continue on in motion in keeping with His ordained decrees. This earth and all that is in it is a testimony to God's faithfulness to His Word, to the fact that His Word is proven. The earth continues to spin on its axis as it has from the beginning. The stars sit in the sky, being held in place or moved about by the same Word that has brought them forth from the beginning. The sun continues to rise and set on the earth, and it lends its light to the moon when any portion of the earth rotates into darkness. The seasons continue according to the will and Word of God. Every aspect of nature serves not Mother Nature, but the God who set them in place and established them according to the Word of His power. For they are all His servants, we're told. He set them in place. He put them in motion, and they continue to serve according to how God had planned from the beginning. And it's evidence that God's Word is proven, even the creation itself. You see, brethren, like the psalmist, every step that we take on this ancient earth, and every breath of oxygen that we so desperately need to survive, that we take in, and every ray of sunlight that we enjoy, and every beautiful snowfall that we witness, and every drop of rain that we feel and taste, ought to remind us of the proven and enduring Word of God. We ought to walk out of this church and see the trees and say, God's Word is proven. And look at the sky and say, God's Word is proven. In other words, brethren, the fact that God's complex creation, which has been infiltrated with all manner of evil and sin and wickedness, that it actually still exists and continues onward, is a testimony of the proven power and endurance of God's Word. Because God is continuing to hold in place what He has set in place from the beginning, and no one can stop Him. And it will continue onward, enduring any and every challenge that comes against it, even global warming. It will endure through that until God speaks and stops time as we know it and brings an end to history. It will continue on. Brethren, is it not a wonderful thing to witness the sovereignty of God and the faithfulness of God displayed over both the spiritual and the physical realms? Is it not a rock-solid place of certainty in the midst of much worldly chaos and uncertainty to know that God's Word must come to pass? To know that God is absolutely sovereign over all things, even the so-called little details of life, like how many hairs will remain on our head the next day, and the determined days for the sparrows that rest in the trees, and etc. Isn't it comforting to know that God has all of this in control, and that He is working all things out for His own glory? That this is not just an experiment of chaos, but He is in control, and that He aims and wills to do us who are His children only good because of who we are in Christ. Isn't that, in fact, another beautiful facet of the gospel of Christ? You see, the gospel puts us in touch with salvation, but it also puts us in touch with our God and the reality of His sovereign care and the reality of the sure and proven nature of His Word, such that we can bank our entire lives on this book, brethren. We can rest our entire lives on this book, on every promise, on every word, on every jot and tittle. We can rest our hope in, no matter what we go through in this life. We have a place of rest. What joy to be in the hands of a glorious, awesome God. Would you have it any other way, brethren, than that? You see, this is what kept the psalmist going, even and especially during his times of great suffering and affliction. This is what kept him going. This is what upheld him during his times of affliction. The God who sees all, the God who knows all, the God who is all powerful, the God from whose hand we cannot be plucked, is at the wheel. And that is what brings us to bear whatever trials we must face, and all for our good in this life. We can endure because we know that God is faithful to His Word, that His promises cannot fail, and we know that He sees all and He knows all and He's all powerful in doing us good at all times. And brethren, one of the very purposes of our trials and afflictions, in fact, is to carry us into this level of trust with the psalmist, so that we can say experientially and at all times the words of the psalmist here in our text when he says, beginning in verse 89, it brings us to say these words, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have given me life." You see, brethren, the same Word that has brought about our salvation by leading us into the arms of Christ, the same Word that has miraculously made Christ known to us, will not fail in any respect ever. We can always trust in the Word of God. And that is the place of comfort for every trial and affliction and sorrow we face in this life. Friends, everything else within the context of this world and within the context of your life falls into the category of uncertain if you're outside of Christ. If you are not in Christ this afternoon, if He is not your Savior, then you have no place to stand. Everything is in the realm of uncertain for you. Only God's Word, only the sure and steadfast hope of God's gospel of grace and the salvation He freely gives in Christ can set you upon a rock of certainty. If you're outside of Christ this afternoon, if you're trusting in the broken down, lying, phony, dust-laden refuges of this world, you will come to find out soon enough that you are standing on a foundation that doesn't even really exist. Your whole life is built upon lies and hiding from the truth that one day you will stand before your holy and righteous Creator to give an account for how you have lived this short life. And if you face God apart from Christ, if you know not Christ in truth, evidenced by a repentant and a new obedient heart, then you will perish eternally for all of your sins. Friends, if you don't know Christ, repent and believe in Christ this day. Believe in His gospel. Be saved from your sins. And step upon the solid certainty of God's Word in Christ. The only solid certainty, the only rock in this world of quicksand. Call upon Him in prayer this day. Turn from your ways and follow Him and be saved. I want to close and just read through those one few words in Isaiah chapter 40 again, verses 6 and 7. Listen to these words carefully. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that we have a place to stand in Your word. Father, we thank You that there is a place of sanity, a place of stability, a place of rest, a place of assurance that we can rest in, because we confess, Lord, that the infection of uncertainty is not only all over the world that we look, it's in our own hearts. Father, apart from Your word, we have no place to look to for a sense of assurance and peace. Left to our hearts, Lord, we run all over the place in every direction. We're full of lies ourselves, so we thank You that we have Your word. And we thank You, Lord, that in Your word You revealed to us the gospel of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that through Him, the living Word who became man, that we obtain eternal life and we have a relationship with You. Father, we ask that You would bless us with these truths and strengthen our confidence in Your word so that as we go through the difficult times and trials that we will face throughout this life, we will find that place to stand. We will not lose, Lord, our balance. We will not fall to pieces, but we will stand upon that one thing that is sure and steadfast, namely Your word. And Father, we pray for those in this room who don't know You today. We pray for those, Lord, who live in a world of uncertainty and who are without hope, Lord, until they are squashed by some providence. We pray, Lord, that even now they would bow the knee to Christ and seek You before it's too late. Please hear our prayers, Lord, and accomplish Your will even this night in our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.